Don't you? Like he said, when I wake up in the morning, and sometime I wake up before everybody else wake up, and you don't seem to be able to go back to sleep, and you just toss and turn. But that's a good time to talk to him. When everybody else sleeps, God's not sleeping. And if you're like me sometime, you lay there and you say, well, I'm gonna, especially if I wake up and get up out of bed and go in there and get in that recliner, I wake up and look at the clock over there and I can, got one that chimes on the hour and it be chiming. I say, well, it's 5 o'clock. I'm gonna lay here for about 10 or 15 more minutes. And then the next thing I know, it's 8 o'clock. And all that time, he was watching me while I slept. If you ever think nobody loves you, just know that while you're sleeping, God's watching you. He's watching you sleep. He loves you that much to watch you sleep at all times. We're never out of his presence. We're glad to see you. Subject today. The spirit of forgiveness, the unmerciful servant. The spirit of forgiveness, the unmerciful servant. There is the spirit and practice of forgiveness. Peter came to our Lord asking about forgiving a brother. And since he called him a brother, I can make the conclusion that he was a fellow believer just like Peter. I said that to say this, that within what we call the church, there are people that, yeah, that we need to forgive. And we need to move on to the next level. Peter asked this of Jesus. Forgive a brother. In the family, there's still problems. Then I asked myself a question. Is forgiveness limited? And we're going to try to answer that for you. Peter was concerned, as we said, about forgiving another believer, a brother, a fellow disciple. Christ then took this discussion and he put it in the context of the kingdom of heaven, the church, the Christian community needs to forgive one another. Peter, in his conclusion of this, was very generous in his concept of forgiveness. I know most of y'all probably are not there, but to some of us, to forgive you 7 times is 6 times too many. To forgive a person 7 times that have wronged me, I'm very generous. Then, what must we do? Jesus answered that. And Jesus answers, forgiveness is unlimited. The kingdom of heaven in its present form includes some people who are servants of God, but they are servants in profession only. The servant in this passage professed faith in God. But his profession is false. He's in the church, walking among God's people. In a desperate moment of dire need, God has met him and offered him mercy and forgiveness. But he have not personally learned anything about God's compassion and forgiveness. I pray that most of us, if not all of us, we're not there where that one man is. We're going to try to help you like I'm trying to help myself. Point number one. 70 times 7. It's in verse 22. Jesus told Peter to forgive him 70 times 7. Which would equal, in just thinking about it, as soon as I hear it, 490 times. But this is not the point that Jesus is trying to make to Peter. What Jesus meant is 70 times, 70 times, 70 times, 70 times until you run out of time. On and on. Throughout all of eternity. Forgiveness, brothers and sisters, is a matter of the heart, not of the mind. The mind will only keep record of the wrong. A spirit of forgiveness does not measure and limit the number of times it will forgive. I'm glad that God had the final say-so on my forgiveness. Because I know me better than anybody else know me. And 70 times 7. I'm not talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about me. 70 times 7 would not be enough. Because all of us, if we were to tell the truth about ourselves, we need a whole lot of forgiveness. The spirit of forgiveness will tolerate being wronged and hurt time after time. And it can do that because forgiveness is a thing of the spirit, a quality of the spirit. All of them are spiritual things, such as love, mercy, grace, joy, forgiveness. All these spirits cannot be measured or they are not limited. We need to forget about ourselves and think about the Lord God Almighty, how we want him to forgive us. These are the nature of the spiritual and they are not physical. Therefore, they are without measure or limited. You can't measure how much you love somebody. You might think you can, that you don't love them enough to forgive them when they wrong you. But when the shoe is on the other foot, when I have wronged you, I want you to hurry up and forgive me. Before I ask, and no matter how bad I have hurt you, it's not that bad to me. That's where we get messed up. It's not forgiveness needs to be without limited, unlimited. You can't measure it. And sometimes, those of us that have been forgiven much don't want to forgive much. Forgive just a little bit. And I can't see my unforgiveness, but I can see yours. I need to turn that shoe around too. If you are going to have good human relationships, you are going to have to be a forgiving person. It's impossible to have them without a good relationship without a forgiving spirit. Offending others is common to all. And most of you know me right now, I'm not lost. But I wanna hold you there for a while. Offending others is common to all. We are all sinful, and we all offend. No one walks perfectly or anywhere close to where we should be. I know you think you walking in heaven and you living next door to Jesus. But you got some stuff in your life. All of us have. And we need to be as forgiving to others as we want others to be forgiven towards us. Why you say that, Baggett? Well, sometime I'm walking and somebody pass by me and they smile and I look at them and I don't smile. Don't have any reason for not smiling, but I just don't. And especially if they're trying to take a picture. I need to correct that. I'm working on it. I'm working on it, and I know somebody going to try it with their camera probably before I leave here today, and I'm still working on it. And I know that. I know that. And we need to be that way. We need to look at ourselves and critique ourselves more than we critique others. We fail to smile. Sometimes you pass by people and you just don't speak. Don't say good morning. Sometime you might, to you, you might have a reason. Well, they passed me last week and they didn't speak, so. Yeah, we're there. And it's not out there in the world all by itself. It's in here. But we need to correct it. Smile at them. Sometimes we don't have any reason not to be joyful, but we're not. We just have gotten used to being that way, and it's okay because this is me. And sometimes we forget to be good towards others. So if you do those things sometime or other, you are going to offend somebody. Sometimes you will offend them, and it will not be intentional. But you still have done it. So we need to know that what we've done, and when it comes to our mind, when you're trying to correct yourself, look at yourself according to the word of God, not according to what you think. We offend others as much as they offend us. We are as human as the next person, and we need the forgiveness as much as the next person. We need forgiveness. An unforgiving spirit shows that a person is basically ill-natured and self-centered and spiritually immature. And that goes to all of us that are believers. Somewhere or other, all of that would hit some of us. Unforgiveness reveals that a person have not grown to be like Christ in his nature of understanding, compassion, and love. Peace and health can be preserved only through forgiveness. Sometimes the burden that we carry most of all is unforgiveness, not letting stuff go. Holding on to it. They killed my dog, and your dog been dead 50 years. That dog still is alive because you won't forgive the person that did the harm. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He's telling us that we have the peace that he has if we only would receive it. Brothers and sisters, we have to get off of this thing about holding stuff against other people. Because Christ will forgive us, then we need to forgive others if we want his forgiveness. Point number two. Just got four today, y'all. Just got four. God's spirit of forgiveness. That's in verses 23 through 27. In this passage of scripture, you need to see God as the King who takes account of his servants. I wrote some of my message in my little everyday book, so I got to get it out. He's the King, and he calls into account his servants. God is the King of the world, of the whole universe, and he is a very unusual King. He is a King who rules justly, as all kings should. But he is more. He is loving and compassionate and forgiving. And he is even more than these. God is consumed with love and compassion. So much so that he forgives enormous debts. Debts so enormous that they are inconceivable. And accounting with each one of us is required when we submit our lives to Christ, when we become what we call believers. And on this occasion, when God leads us to evaluate our own lives, all of us must give an account. We must reckon. We must come to reckoning with our account with Lord God Almighty. Reckoning means to take account and to make reckoning and to sell the account. The King began to check his providence and put the pencil to the providence, to the ledger, receipts and expenditures, and the capital of improvement. We are all brought to the King by the Spirit of the Word, or Christian witness. You got to bring it to the Word. We are all led to see the huge debt of our sin and service that we owe to God. All of us were indebted to God because we had sin in our lives. The debt of the servant was huge. This point is that God has given us life and made us overseers of that life. Let me stop right there, if you will, and say something here, because I want you to get this point. I want you to get this. God have given you a life, and you are in charge of that life. When he gave it to you, it was in a sinful world, but the debt had already been paid. And when the debt's paid, if you receive the debt, if you receive it, then everything is okay. The life that he gave us, we are the overseers of that life. I am basically responsible for this life right here. If I get it in debt, I have to get out of debt. The debt is so great that you cannot pay the debt yourself. For we have sinned against a holy and a righteous God. We have sinned against Lord God Almighty, and the debt is great. You might have lied on somebody else, but the sin in reality is against God. Anything that's contrary to the word of God is a sin against God, and we need to pay the debt. But then when God took and blessed me with paying my debt, help me, Holy Ghost. I didn't receive it just like I should have. I mismanaged my life the way he had given it to me. I mismanaged it. And to mismanage it, I did something contrary to the will of God. And then the debt kept increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. This debt is a huge debt. And just then and everybody couldn't pay off the debt. The debt was a great debt. Anybody couldn't pay it off. It took a certain amount of time to pay it off. But when we come to God, help me, Holy Ghost, with all of my debt that I owe him, if I fall down at his feet and talk to him with compassion and love and ask for his mercy, lay myself on the altar and present myself before him as one wicked and unruly and contrary to his will, I'm dependent on him with his compassion and his love to forgive me of my sin. I owe him. I owe him. But then what does it take to get the debt out of the way? I can't pay it. When it comes time, I'm bankrupt. I don't know whether it's chapter 7 or what, 11 or 13 or whichever one of them it is. But when you run out of funds and you can't pay your debt, you file bankruptcy. Yeah. Uh-huh. Have you ever been there? If you are born again and you're saved now, you have been bankrupt. Because you could not pay your debt. And the debt collector came for to be paid, and he could not pay the debt. And the thing that I think most of us fail to see is that my sin for life, if it does not affect anybody else, it affects my family. The sin that we commit and we get in such a debt with sin that it affects our family. We just won't treat them right. We just won't do those things that we know we are supposed to do. And it's all because of sin. The debt keep building up. And you heard me say earlier that sometimes we sin and make debt and it's unintentionally. We don't know that we're making the debt. I know most of y'all probably think that you've been perfect all your life, but I stopped by to tell you, all of us are a long ways from it. But when we file bankruptcy, we got somebody to plead our case. We got somebody to plead our case, and that is the one that's doing the talking in this book here. King Jesus, he wrote a check. And he wrote it out on Calvary. He paid the debt, an enormous debt. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself because I want to drive a point home that I have here in this little book here. But we need to understand that we have a debt and can't anybody pay it. And the reason why they can't pay it, it's already been paid. We just have to become recipients of the greatness that he has for us. Point number three, the spirit of unforgiveness, and that's in verses 28 through 31, and I wrote myself a note here to read that to you again, and please don't think I'm insulting your intelligence. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. I want you to forgive me. But then when it's my turn to forgive, I don't want to do it. Here this man faced a person who owed him who offended him in some way. In comparison, the debt that the Lord had forgiven him was nothing compared to what the man owed him. 100 pence is equal to about $15. The money that the man, the unmerciful servant, owed his Lord, it said it was 10,000 talents. And I don't know in this one whether they're thinking talents as silver or gold, but I took it as gold. In my Bible, an ounce of gold at the time was $26,280 an ounce. And there was in a talent. And he owed the king 10,000 talents. That's $2,628,000. And the man owed him $15. And he would not forgive the man that owed him $15. And the king had forgiven him of $2,628,000,000. In dollars. Now, this shows us the enormous difference between our sin against a brother and our brother's sin against us. When I sin against you, it's not much. But when you sin against me, it's a whole lot. This man, someone owed him 100 pence, $15. 15. And here the Lord had forgiven him 2 billion. That's hard for me to say that word. $1 billion. $2,680,000,000. And he won't forgive another person $15. So what it's saying in gist here is that you stepped on my shoe. I turn around, I kill you, your family, all you have, and I burn it all up. And I want you to forgive me for doing that to you. But then when comes time for me to $15. Just a little bit. Brothers and sisters, and I want you to get away from that, and I want you to see what King Jesus did for all of us. He paid our debt. Sin in the presence of God cannot stand. Christ came down and died on a cross so we could stand in the presence of God. He tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. And if you come boldly before the throne of grace, Jesus Christ is there with you in order to make sure that nothing happened to you, because the spirit of unforgiveness have left you, and you have the spirit of forgiveness within you because you have receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This man that was forgiven much did not want to forgive a little bit. Brothers and sisters, that's the way we do not need to be. We need to be willing to forgive others because we want Christ to forgive us. That's why I try to tell you so many times, if I know that you think you need my forgiveness, you got it. Because I realize what God has forgiven me for. And every one of us need to look at ourselves and compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. Then we will know that we need the forgiveness of him in our life. We do not need to be the unmerciful servant. We need to have the forgiving spirit within our lives. And with the season that we're in now, with the way things are going in the world, we need to be the forgiving one. We need to be the one that's willing to forgive. Yes, and I know I may hurt you bad. I may do something wicked to you, but you still got to find space in your heart to forgive me, because the reason I say it's so important for us to forgive others, we need to imagine ourselves standing before God in our worst and our sinful state, and we are seeking and wanting him to forgive us, to take us home, to live with him throughout all eternity. Don't see it with you ending up down here. See it as a heaven or hell issue. The forgiven, those that need forgiving, they can receive it if you only ask and you're serious, and you in turn do it to someone else. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's us. We need the forgiveness of Christ. Just like this man would not do that for someone else that owed him a very small amount. But he had Christ, the Lord had forgiven him of that 10,000 talents. And he wouldn't forgive 100 pence, which is equal to $15. We need to be the forgiven one as believers. And brothers and sisters, I can't get away from this, that Peter was asking about another brother that needed his forgiveness. You may have forgiven him twice. What's that say? First time is on me. The second time is on you. Don't come back for a third time. I'm going to forgive you first time. It's my fault. Next time, it's your fault. And don't come after that. There's no more forgiveness. But with God, it's unlimited. His mercy, his compassion, his love, his forgiveness is unlimited. All we need to do is put ourselves in position to receive it. When we put ourselves in position to receive it, he will dispense it towards us. And you can grasp it all in your heart. And when you receive the forgiveness of God, it ought to change your heart to make you more willing to forgive somebody else. I know we've done some horrible things to you, some unspeakable things, but you got to find it in your heart to forgive us. Forgive those people of the sin that they have committed to you. We act just like the world. We act selfish, and we only concerned about ourselves. If you can remember the burden that was off of you when you felt like you had been forgiven, you ought to want somebody else to receive the same blessing. You ought to want them to receive the same blessing. Forgiveness is a gift. And it's you won't ever run out of it. It's always there. But you might not want to be the unmerciful servants. You might want to be the one with the forgiving spirit. The unmerciful servant can become, the forgiven spirit. The point Christ is making here is that God is the King, and he does not act towards us legally. He acts towards us compassionately, from a godly side, from his heart. God is love, and he will dispense that love towards us. He will not run out of his compassion, his love, and his mercy. He will always have that, and we need to be willing to receive it. We want to receive, but we don't want to give. You have to give it, because it is important in your own walk. This sounds to me, at one time it sounded difficult for me to believe this, but I believe it now. I feel better after I have forgiven someone for what they've done to me than I think that I did when they forgave me. Because when they forgave me, the burden was lifted off of them. I just thought I felt better. I really didn't. But when I forgive someone, there's a burden that's lifted. And the burden is lifted all the time. You can't see it. Sometimes when it happens to you, you seem to walk lighter. You seem to be gliding. You don't seem to let your foot touch the ground because you're so happy. You just feel better. And it'll make you treat everybody else better. 70 times 7 until you run out of time. That's how we need to forgive each other. In the mind, don't y'all try this. In the mind, try to separate the people that you have forgiven for something and see if you can count the times that you have forgiven them. If you start trying to do that, you won't have time to do anything else. I know some of you wouldn't have anybody's name or nothing down because you wouldn't have, there would be nobody. Yeah. I'm through. But I thought about this, and this exemplifies forgiveness to me. And I've said this before, but it keeps coming up in my mind since I've been standing here talking. Back in the 60s or the 70s, When George Wallace was running for governor of the state of Alabama, he decided he was not going to run for governor anymore in the state of Alabama. And if you remember anything about George Wallace and Alabama in those days, they were not friendly to people of your hue. They put on national television an elderly black lady standing there before God and national television, ABC or NBC or one of them, crying. I mean big crocodile tears, because George Wallace was not going to run for governor. And I'm sitting there in Baker, Florida, or Crestview 1, just looking at that television. Oh, and I talked about that woman bad. How in the name of God can she stand here on national television and cry because George Wallace is not running for governor in the state of Alabama, and she lives in the state of Alabama? How in the world is she going to stand here and cry like that? She got to be crazy. But that lady had gotten to a place where I needed to be. She had not looked at the things that he had done. She had forgiven him for the things that he did. I had to get there. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I had to get there. Today, I just pray that God forgive me for having that thought. And I said, pray. And I know God did. He did, because I was serious in my heart. And I said that to tell you this. No matter how heinous the things that people have done to you, you still got to forgive them. Because when you weigh what the little thing that they have done to you against what you have done against God, it's only $15. $15 against what, 200, to however many, $1 billion. It's a whole lot. It's not much. $15. Against $2 billion. Will you stand?
Listen. All of your debt, Christ have paid for it. He paid for your sin. All you have to do is receive what he already paid for. The money's in the bank. You got the check. You just got to cash it. That's, you have to receive him as Lord and Savior. We extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and allow God to save your soul. Will you come? Will you come? He's waiting on you to come. He's already paid the price, but you need to come. If you don't know Christ, if you have not received him as Lord and Savior, you need to come to Christ today. Today is the day. Now is the time for you to come to Christ. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.
I laid my burdens down. I feel better.